This is the 2020 State House Podcast, brought to you by South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Funding is brought to you in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, Missouri River Energy Services, and Touchstone Energy Cooperative. Here's Chris Loffrey with today's top legislative news in Pierre.
House Republicans are advancing a bill they say protects transgender children from undergoing irreversible procedures. Critics of the bill include more than 20 South Dakota pediatricians who say the bill distorts the relationship between patients and physicians. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
The House bill would prohibit medical professionals from prescribing puberty-blocking medication as well as performing surgeries for young transgender patients. Lawmakers have offered similar bills in a number of states recently. The House State Affairs Committee made a few changes before passing the South Dakota version. A physician would face a misdemeanor rather than felony charges, and a patient would need to be 16 to receive treatment designed to affirm their gender. Republican John Hansen is a representative from Del Rapids. He supports the bill. He says children need state protection under the law because they don't always know what's best for them.
Kids will say, "How long is it going to be till we leave?" And you say, "Oh, it'll be an hour." And the kid says, "An hour? That's crazy. I can't believe it's going to take an hour." I mean, they have no concept of even short time frames. We're talking about life-altering decisions that they'll live with for the rest of their life. That's why we pass these protections.
Children and teens who are uncomfortable with their gender assignment at birth can be diagnosed with gender dysphoria. That's the case for Quincy Park, a non-binary 17-year-old from Sioux Falls. Their mother, Kim Park, says they worked with multiple counselors and psychologists. Ultimately, a doctor prescribed puberty-blocking medication for Quincy.
It wasn't a simple process. It was a long, drawn-out, multiple visits, a lot of time thinking about it, hoping that we would end up making the right decision. And in the end, we did.
Some lawmakers question the need for a law that bans some medical treatments for young transgender patients. They ask how such a measure would be practically enforced. Two dozen doctors attended the hearing to oppose the bill, and representatives from the South Dakota Medical Association and Sanford Health say they are against the proposal. According to Sanford, of their 1 million patients last year, fewer than 20 under 18 were treated with gender dysphoria. Not all were even South Dakota residents. Dr. Michelle Schimmelfenig is a pediatrician at Sanford Health in Sioux Falls and president of the South Dakota chapter of American Academy of Pediatrics.
This bill is concerning because it directly impacts the relationship that we have with our patient and physicians. It allows legislation to come in and make decisions rather than letting the medical professionals do that in the context of their patients and families.
Dr. Schimmelfenig urges lawmakers not to make medical professionals choose between patient care and jail. Republican Representative Fred Deutsch is the prime sponsor of the bill. He says medical professionals disagree about appropriate treatment.
Well, I know there are pediatricians that support the bill. I don't know that any spoke out here in the room, but I know there are a host of pediatricians that support the bill.
Deutsch says puberty-blocking medication and the procedures listed in the bill are a medical experiment on children. Deutsch acknowledges there are similar bills in states like Florida.
Other legislators and organizations have emailed me indicating that they'd like to look at the bill because they're thinking about doing something similar.
However, there's also opposition to the bill from outside the medical community. The South Dakota Chamber of Commerce is also against it. David Owen is president of the group. He says proponents are sincere in trying to protect young people, but South Dakota doesn't need to be one of the first to try this approach.
We've seen a record around the country that when states start considering special treatment for selected classes of people, using restrictions or guidance or rules that are often viewed as draconian, that it has economic consequences.
17-year-old Quincy Park says the bill removes hope for transgender kids by taking away medical help and making them wait for it until they are older.
And by lengthening that wait and by saying that there's no chance of shortening that wait, that is what harms the most.
House Bill 1057 is one of the first to make it out of committee and now heads to the House floor. For SDPB Radio News, I'm Lee Strubinger in Peer.
The Wagner School District was the first in South Dakota to adopt a Jobs for America's graduates program 11 years ago. JAG is a national public-private partnership that prevents high school students from dropping out through career counseling, job shadowing, and more. The Wagner program's success inspired the Senate Education Committee to unanimously approve a bill establishing a statewide JAG program in the Department of Education. SDPB's Jackie Hendry has more.
Senate Bill 39 also establishes a full-time JAG coordinator position within the Department of Education and a special donation fund for the program. Renee Vanderwerth is a JAG specialist at Wagner High School. She says nationally, JAG students have a 96% graduation rate and an 84% placement rate in the military, workforce, or college. She says those rates for Wagner students are even higher.
I'd love to pull out a photo album and brag about my kids just like every parent or grandparent likes to do. But I'm going to tell you just a few of the things that my kids have accomplished, and these are Wagner kids.
A few examples are the first Indigenous student from the state to study abroad as a Rotary International Scholar, students representing JAG nationally in D.C., and 9 accepted to the Crazy Horse Summer Program. But that success means Wagner administrators are fielding questions from other districts interested in JAG programs. Principal Neil Goder says that shouldn't happen.
We seem to be the so-called experts in it, and so we take all the phone calls, we take all the how do you do this, and that those are things that should come from our leadership from the state level, our leadership conferences for our students, our PD for our advisors. Those should come from the state level. They shouldn't come from us.
Students agree. Wagner senior Peyton Mora says it's difficult attending national conferences without a representative.
So I think that with the help from the state that we can all help grow as a state and JAG and help grow nationally.
There was no opposing testimony, and the committee passed the bill unanimously to the Senate floor. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Jackie Hendry.
Landowners in northwest South Dakota have been stuck with orphaned natural gas wells on their property for several years. This winter, they might finally get some help. SDPB's Seth Tupper explains.
In 2006, a Texas company called Spyglass Cedar Creek drilled 40 natural gas wells near Buffalo. By 2012, the company was in trouble. Gas prices went down, a lender went bankrupt, and a business partner was indicted for tax fraud. The wells have been idle ever since. State regulators couldn't plug the wells because they didn't get a big enough bond from Spyglass to pay for the work. Ray Gilbert is one of the ranchers stuck with wells on his land. He says some lawmakers took a tour of the wells last fall.
I know they all felt that something needed to be done, that it was going to be a problem.
Now something might get done and taxpayers might have to pay for it. The State Department of Environment and Natural Resources has proposed legislation with the governor's support. The bill would use $727,700 in state money to plug the wells and restore the land to a natural condition. Another bill proposed by the department would allow it to take leftover bond money forfeited by a separate drilling project and use that money to help plug and reclaim the wells near Buffalo. A third bill from the department seeks to avoid similar problems in the future. That bill would raise the minimum bond for oil and gas drillers. Spyglass only had to pay $30,000 in bonds. The new minimum would be $50,000 per well or $100,000 for unlimited wells. Gilbert supports the higher bonds.
The good reputable companies aren't going to worry about paying it because their reputation is at stake and they're going to do things right. And the fly-by-night outfits that that we got in trouble with, or they won't pay it probably. And that's probably good, you know, keep them out, you know, keep the reputable companies in here.
All three bills are awaiting action by the legislature. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Seth Tupper in Rapid City.
You can keep up with the top legislative news every day by listening to the 2020 Statehouse podcast. For additional programming and news, listen to us online at sdpb.org. Be sure to download the free SD.net app on your mobile device for live committee meetings, floor sessions, and daily archives of the People's Business and Peer. Be sure to connect with us on social media by liking the SDPB News Facebook page and following at SDPB News on Twitter. Funding is provided in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, Missouri River Energy Services, and Touchstone Energy Cooperative. This has been a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.